Cosmic strings. Cosmic strings are long, heavy objects with a tiny cross-section that may have been produced during the early stages of the universe. Once cosmic strings formed, they were further stretched by the expansion of the universe, and by now a single cosmic string could cross over the entire length of our observable universe. The occurrence of cosmic strings is suggested by modern theories of particles, which predict that in the hot, early stages of the universe, matter was in a symmetric phase, much like liquid water, which is symmetrical, the same at every point in every direction, rather than like ice crystals, which have a discrete structure. When the universe cooled, the symmetry of the early phase could have been broken in different ways in distant regions. Consequently, the cosmic matter would have settled into different ground states in those regions. Cosmic strings are the configurations of matter at the boundaries between these regions. Their formation was therefore an inevitable consequence of the fact that different regions could not agree on their ground states. Cosmic strings should not be confused with the strings of string theory, though they are not entirely unrelated. They're objects with length, but a tiny cross-section. Their occurrence is predicted in some theories of elementary particles. The space-time outside a single cosmic string is flat. However, it's flat space-time with a wedge cut out, with the sharp end of the wedge at the string. It's like a cone. Take a large circle of paper and cut out a segment like a slice of pie, a wedge with its corner at the center of the circle. Then discard the piece you've cut out and glue the cut edges of the remaining piece together so that you have a cone. This represents the space-time in which the cosmic string exists. Notice that because the surface of the cone is the same flat sheet of paper with which you started, minus the wedge, you can still call it flat, except at the apex. You can recognize that there is curvature at the apex by the fact that a circle round the apex has a smaller circumference than a circle drawn at the same distance round the center of the original round sheet of paper. In other words, a circle round the apex is shorter than one would expect for a circle of that radius in flat space because of the missing segment. Similarly, in the case of a cosmic string, the wedge that is removed from flat space-time shortens circles round the string but doesn't affect time or distances along the string. This means that the space-time around a single cosmic string doesn't contain any time loops, so it's not possible to travel into the past. However, if there's a second cosmic string that is moving relative to the first, its time direction will be a combination of the time and space directions of the first. This means that the wedge that is cut out for the second string will shorten both distances in space and time intervals as seen by someone moving with the first string. If the cosmic strings are moving at nearly the speed of light relative to each other, the saving of time going around both strings can be so great that one arrives back before one set out. In other words, there are time loops that one can follow to travel into the past. The cosmic string space-time contains matter that has positive energy density and is consistent with the physics we know. However, the warping that produces the time loops extends all the way out to infinity in space and back to the infinite past in time. Thus, these space-times were created with time travel in them. We have no reason to believe that our own universe was created in such a warped fashion, and we have no reliable evidence of visitors from the future. I'm discounting the conspiracy theory that UFOs are from the future and that the government knows and is covering it up. Its record of cover-ups is not that good. I shall therefore assume that there were no time loops in the distant past, or more precisely, in the past of some surface through space-time, that I shall call S. The question then is, could some advanced civilization build a time machine? That is, could it modify the space-time to the future of S, so that time loops appeared in a finite region? I say a finite region because no matter how advanced the civilization becomes, it could presumably control only a finite part of the universe. In science, finding the right formulation of a problem is often the key to solving it, and this was a good example. To define what was meant by a finite time machine, I went back to some early work of mine. Time travel is possible in a region of space-time in which there are time loops, paths that move at less than the speed of light, but which nevertheless manage to come back to the place and time they started, because of the warping of space-time. Since I've assumed that there were no time loops in the distant past, there must be what I call a time travel horizon, the boundary separating the region of time loops from the region without them. Time travel horizons are rather like black hole horizons. While a black hole horizon is formed by light rays that just miss falling into the black hole, a time travel horizon is formed by light rays on the verge of meeting up with themselves. I then take as my criterion for a time machine what I call a finitely generated horizon. That is, a horizon which is formed by light rays that all emerge from a bounded region. In other words, they don't come in from infinity or from a singularity, but originate from a finite region containing time loops, the sort of region our advanced civilization is supposed to create. In adopting this definition as the footprint of a time machine, we have the advantage of being able to use the machinery that Roger Penrose and I developed to study singularities and black holes. Even without using the Einstein equations, I can show that in general, a finitely generated horizon will contain a light ray that actually meets up with itself. That is, a light ray that keeps coming back to the same point over and over again. Each time the light came round, it would be more and more blue-shifted, so the images would get bluer and bluer. The wave crests of a pulse of light will get closer and closer together, and the light will get around in shorter and shorter intervals of its time. In fact, a particle of light would have only a finite history, as defined by its own measure of time, even though it went around and around in a finite region and didn't hit a curvature, singularity. One might not care if a particle of light completed its history in a finite time, but I can also prove that there would be paths moving at less than the speed of light that had only finite duration. These could be the histories of observers who would be trapped in a finite region before the horizon and would go around and around faster and faster until they reached the speed of light in a finite time. So, if a beautiful alien in a flying saucer invites you into her time machine, step with care. You might fall into one of these trapped, repeating histories of only finite duration. These results don't depend on the Einstein equations, but only on the way space-time would have to warp to produce time loops in a finite region. However, we can now ask what kind of matter an advanced civilization would have to use to warp space-time so as to build a finite-sized time machine. Can it have positive energy density everywhere, as in the cosmic string space-time I described earlier? Cosmic string space-time didn't satisfy my requirement that the time loops appear in a finite region. However, one might think that this was just because the cosmic strings were infinitely long. One might imagine that one could build a finite time machine using finite loops of cosmic string and have the energy density positive everywhere. It's a pity to disappoint people such as Kip, who want to return to the past, but it can't be done with positive energy density everywhere. I can prove that to build a finite time machine, you need negative energy. Energy density is always positive in classical theory, so time machines of finite size are ruled out on this level. However, the situation is different in the semi-classical theory, in which one considers matter to behave according to quantum theory, but space-time to be well-defined and classical. As we've seen, the uncertainty principle of quantum theory means that fields are always fluctuating up and down, even in apparently empty space, and have an energy density that is infinite. Thus, one has to subtract an infinite quantity to get the finite energy density that we observe in the universe. This subtraction can leave the energy density negative, at least locally. Even in flat space, one can find quantum states in which the energy density is negative locally, although the total energy is positive. One might wonder whether these negative values actually cause space-time to warp in the appropriate way to build a finite time machine, but it seems they must. As we saw in Chapter 4, quantum fluctuations mean that even apparently empty space is full of pairs of virtual particles that appear together, move apart, and then come back together and annihilate each other.